Garrett Ilsen here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Wendy Oldfield has been a performer and creator of beautiful music since 1983. She first rocketed into the spotlight with the rock group The Sweat Band and had a number of hits, including the very popular This Boy, which charted on all major radio stations. In 1989, Wendy Oldfield branched out into a solo career and released her first solo album called Beautiful World. This album saw a solid number of hits for debut solo artists such as Acid Rain, Miracle, Don't Stop Believing, and Living in a Real World. The next few years, Wendy Oldfield's style grew and changed, ever consistent with dynamic lyrical content. Ruby, Pale Blue Dot, Holy Water, and Supernova followed over the next 20 years. Songs like Holy Water, Sun, New Dress, and Burden became huge favorites at all her live performances in South Africa. Wendy Oldfield has been nominated for a total of 7 South African Music Awards, of which she has won 2 for Best Female Vocalist and also Best Pop Album, with 2 more for her children's albums, Sing Along Kids Volume 1 and Sing Along Kids Volume 2. Wendy consistently releases new music and tours South Africa with welcoming audiences at all her shows. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Wendy Oldfield. Where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
Yeah, how's it? I'm not sure whether to start with the first one or let me start with the first one. I'm very well, thank you. Looking forward to this interview. And where I am in the world is in wilderness at the moment. I'm at my house that I stay at and sort of a little breather in between some shows this weekend and then next weekend. And I'm contemplating the rest of my life.
So for the overseas listeners, so we have a lot of overseas listeners. You've heard of Johannesburg, you've heard of Cape Town, you maybe have heard of Durban. So the wilderness in relation to Durban, how far is that, Wendy?
It's sort of, if you went all the way up coast, it's probably about a quarter of the way to Durban.
Okay.
Maybe okay. A little bit less, maybe a fifth. Okay. If you just keep driving, which you can't, but yeah.
So overseas listeners, if you just go a quarter to Durban and you stop, you might see Wendy there.
Yes, a little small seaside village, but it's also mountainous as well.
How long have you been living there for?
For 20 years this year.
10?
I've 20. Wilderness, 20. Yeah, 20 years in Joburg and 19 years in Cape Town.
So what made you move to the wilderness?
You know, I've always been a farmy type girl. Okay. When I finished school, I went and moved up onto a farm in Simonstown when I was playing with my first band. But then we moved to Joburg, which is entirely different. Yet the places I lived were kind of always the same. I always ended up in houses with big trees in the back, you know, in the back. Yeah. And that. I've always yearned for the country. So when I fell pregnant with my third child, which came as a great surprise, because my second was only 8 months old.
Oh,
my first was only, I was only 2. And then I just decided if I'm going to do this thing, I can do it anywhere because I'm still doing the same thing. Yeah. So I'd rather not do it in Joburg. So we moved down to the wilderness. Yeah. Okay. And then I had my babies here.
Then you had your babies there. So now let's rewind to the very beginning. So you've been in the entertainment industry a number of years.
Yes.
At what age did you get invigorated and motivated to be in the entertainment industry? And what inspired that and the hybrid version of the Wendy Oldfield story?
Well, I always wanted to sing and act. When I was small, I was always doing the leads in all the school plays and everything, which was something I was very into, and I wanted to pursue it. You know, when you're kind of good at something, you get recognized for being good at it, so it makes you feel good. So you kind of get better at it. It's one of those things. I think that's why people end up doing things they good at. It's because, you know, you get propelled into this thing.
Yes.
So then when I was sick, my mom was like, what are you going to do next year? And I said, I was going to be a singer. And she was like, how? And I'm just going to, I don't know, I'm just going to do it. But she advised me to do something while I was trying to become a singer.
Okay.
which she didn't, I don't think she thought I'd ever do. And she said, it will be fun if you did it. Nice as a hobby on weekends. Anyway, while I was studying teaching, one of the girls in the same year as me came and asked me, because I had formed a little singing group, she came and asked me if I wanted to be a singer for a rock band, because the sweat band was looking for a new singer. And so I auditioned for them probably about 3 days later. And from the very next night, I don't think my mom ever saw me again. It's just like I auditioned, got in, and that was it. We rehearsed every single night, we gigged every single weekend, and then I moved to Joburg with them. So then the next leg was when I was in Johannesburg.
Okay.
Sweat band,
Yes.
2 years of fame. Yes, there's 15 seconds of fame. Yeah, we killed it for about 2 years, and then we split up. So all in all, about 6 years together, and then I went solo, and then I had Acid Rain and Real World. And there was a song I had called Miracle, quite a few that came off my first debut album. And then I've released another six albums since then over the period of time. One which I released in 2021, at the end of time, hey?
Yeah.
It's real weird these days.
Oh, absolutely.
And an album called Salt. All my albums have had songs on radio, and remember radio?
Yeah. I still like
And
that. I was actually listening to the
yeah.
radio the other day, and you came on. I was like, oh, there's my friend Wendy.
Anyway, my kids have grown up here, this side, and I sort of satellite from here.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of live work. I'm coaching a bit of a me coach slash mentoring a bit of ki kids in vocals and songwriting and just general coaching all in all, and which I really love. And I'm writing songs all the time and performing with different musicians. This weekend I'm performing with Steve Newman, and next weekend with Robin Auld. So I'm on the go.
On the go,
And
go,
on the go, yes. And I
go.
have two kids. Now my children are studying in Cape Town and Johannesburg. So
Okay.
I'm sort of in between them as well. And my partner lives in Durst. So I'm over the mountain as well, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards.
Okay.
I love it because I write songs in the car. So travel time for me is rehearsal time,
While you're actually physically driving.
Yeah, I sing.
Okay.
Your mind is unthinking. There's a hole in your head, and you stop sort of thinking about anything, and you get into that feeling, that when you're driving. And I just sing continuously. So by the time I get to Cape Town, I don't even know I'm there. And then I've sung and sung, and I'm not thinking about what I'm singing. So
Okay.
it's a very nice time.
You see, you're not like me. I hate driving long distances. If it's further than 30 minutes, I start getting irritated. It's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? My
Yo,
bum's numb.
see.
Where aren't we there yet?
Just I've had three kids in cars, so you must know any drive without children is magnificent.
Okay.
And people who have kids will they'll understand, especially three children between 3/4 years.
Yeah.
So the first time I drove without them, I was like, oh my word, I think I'm just gonna become a truck driver as my job. Because it was so pleasant. And I don't do really long drives, maybe 5, 6 hours. Take a little break in between,
Yeah.
and they're always beautiful rides, well, to Cape Town usually, or through the Karoo or something like that.
You mentioned those killing it, the 15 seconds of fame, and then you did the solo work. The difference between being part of the band and Wendy Oldfield solo, was there any difference, or how was that transition?
It was completely different. Yeah, once you've been in a band, and I mean, people who've been in bands will know the band. It's about the band. The band was the only thing that was in my life. I think I missed my best friend's wedding because I had a rehearsal. I was like, sorry, I've got a rehearsal. I'll come afterwards. You never cancel a rehearsal for something. You never canceled rehearsals for anything.
Yeah.
Just like that was it. The commitment's there. And when you're in a band like that, there's something. It's amazing because if the gig is shit, then you don't blame nothing. It's like you're one unit, a force to be reckoned with, So when it changes to Wendy Oldfield, it's different, and it's swings and roundabouts. Then you've got say, you're autonomous, can pretty much move around because I could be Wendy Oldfield doing this, trying this genre, mixing this genre and that genre, which was kind of difficult in the band. So they were very, I mean, it's great as well, but at the same time, we and I come from the days was when the band broke up. It wasn't like, okay, we're gonna go for 2 years and I'm gonna do a solo album and he's gonna and then we'll get back together again. It didn't really happen in it was sure it kind of didn't really happen that way when you left the band, then the band was done, you know. And anyway, so I went solo, and then after that, I've had many bands, and you know, I've got musicians all over South Africa that I've played with and know my stuff. So if I go to places, I book guys and we rehearse together, and it's different, you know, because you're the boss. Even if you're not, you know, I look, you know, I don't be the boss because you're a band, but that thing is different. You kind of have more responsibility towards those guys because they could sort of in your employ instead of, well, let's see how it goes type of thing. But also I mean, all the musicians I book off are so fantastic, and I know them so well, so there's no issues with musical intimacy. Dare I use that? But it is because, you know, we all know each other, and then when you land in it, you don't have to get to know each other, don't have to learn each other. Yeah, so it's great, and I love that too. So there, yeah, for me, there's a big difference, and I think if you spoke to guys that have been in bands and women, they'll say the same thing.
Would you
Once I became Wendy Oldfield, I could never be band again.
say that being in a band gives a bit of an I'm trying to
Thank
get the
God,
word
I
out, anonymity,
got
and that's the
it.
word we're getting there, anonymity. Still can't get it. Anyway, we know what we're talking about. To
I know.
it gives a sort of a protection compared to oh. That's Wendy compared to, oh, that's the band.
In what sense do you mean, like from the public, or I suppose in a way, but because I mean, you still, yeah, you know, you feel threatened as a band. You never feel like take it personally. You feel threatened as a band. Like, whoa, they said something about, you know, there is a sense of, I mean, just we would arrive at gigs together. We'd never say, I'll meet you at someone's gig. Because, you know, we did a lot of that. You know, you hang out at your mates, Bright Blue was around, and we'd always meet and then walk in together. It was a thing. It was a thing. So people would turn and go, oh, there's the sweat band. And it was lack of us. Also, we never went on stage by, you know, one at a time. We always tuned up, went off stage, and then we went on together. It's a very nice thing. I try and do that with my guys anyway, the bands I play with.
Now, you mentioned you're still writing songs. So, from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, what
Yes.
inspires that? What motivates it? You mentioned you do a lot of it while you're driving. Is it easy all the time? Tell us the Wendy Oldfield journey of creating a song.
You know, it's something that's so different for me. I can't really nail it down to like giving anyone a lesson in it, because for me, writing a song is content based at the same time as sort of, I usually write melody lines first because I'm always singing. If I'm up, drives everyone nuts. My kids, they say, you don't even hear yourself. I'm singing stuff. And so I'm not thinking about it. And melodies that stick, they stick, you see. Then suddenly I go, ah, oh, okay. I start recognizing something that I'm humming or singing. And then I'll be like, ah, there you are. That's okay. Come back again. Then I'll start humming it again. And then words will kind of emerge. The more I start singing it, I make sounds, and then the words emerge. I don't think about the words. They just come out my mouth. And then I go, oh, that's nice. I like that. I can see, because it's usually something that's in my, that I've got a lens on. Something that's, yeah, I'm thinking about. So something will come out, and I'll just leave it and work on that line. And I'm very trusting of it. And it sometimes the whole thing disappears. It comes back again in 4 years. Yeah, but I put it away. I mean, I just carry on, and things formulate. And when they've got to a stage that I know I've the whole thread is there, and even though I might have to tighten up lyrics, then I'll record it. Just, you know, with my phone, I don't do, oh, I've got a line and record it, because my training is of not having that around me. So I've never done that. I've always just sort of trusted that the thing that stays alive will stay alive. And then the content is important. very important. People have sort of lost their interest in that. But it seems for me when I listen to songs. But and the weight of the word that you use according to the whole, the pentameter, like it's a very fine thing. You can feel it when something's uncomfortable, a line in someone's song, or it doesn't sit right. Then you have to take away that and find the right thing. And then it has to all work together. I suppose resonate would be the word, but that's kind of how I do it. And sometimes I work with a band and I'll give them something like a groove and a this, and then I'll come up with a melody on top of that. So that's also how I write when I write with people.
I'm not sure if you're aware of if you or all the listeners are aware. Some of the listeners who've listened to all my podcasts, thank you, by the way, hashtag, would have heard me speaking to another artist around this. So each person processes information differently. Some people process visually, some people process auditory, some people process kinesthetically. So kinesthetically is the feeling. So when you're listening to songs by other people, for example, are you an audio person? You have the words or the feeling kinesthetically, or visual? You get the feeling and you can see it. Which one is for you the most dominant?
I suppose the audio. I don't really listen to the song like intensely. If a song is there, I just feel it, actually. I feel the song through my ears. I'm not super visual person, although I have to say the last few years I've got more and more into photographs and that kind of thing. Yeah, I feel it. I feel it, and I can. You don't have to sell me. If a song's playing and I'm like, I'll just immediately in the sort of second verse go, "Ooh, too long verses. Why are you? Why do you keep using that word over and over? You should put the second chord into a minor." You know what I mean? And then if it's I immediately start bloody like idols judging it, you know. If it doesn't work for me and I'm sitting and I'm listening to something, I'll just. But it doesn't have to be fantastic. The honesty of the song can grab you as well. You know, it's not about the production, and there's something that's a thing. That's the thing. You know what I mean? That just gets it. I'm not saying that song makes it to number one. I'm not talking about that kind of songwriting or pop songwriting, but you know what I mean. Good songwriting.
Also, it's
And
also the energy.
yes, absolutely. And when everything fits, like I say, the weight of the line and how it ends and the chord that happens underneath it and the voicings that are used. And I hate songs that are sentimental or shove things down your throat or, you know, that aren't elegantly laid out, you know. So yeah, so that's but so that's it, when the whole thing fits together and it's just great. It's through the feeling, yeah, an audio feeling. More than an audio, like, or the sound, you know what I mean? More the.
You mentioned earlier that you are coaching kids and mentoring them. What about that do you enjoy?
There's a certain age group. I'm actually not at the moment. I'm just coaching one lady at the moment, but she's not a kid. Anyway, the thing about teenagers, if you refer to a reminder to the world, it's a video and a song that I did with these kids from Wilderness, teenagers from Wilderness. It's on YouTube. They were all about 14, 15, 16, and want to sing. They all want to be singers. So it's very different to sitting in a room with a bunch of kids that you're getting to do something that don't want to do it. These teenagers were, I mean, I said to them, "Listen, you can talk as much as you like, but then you must go outside and do it on the balcony and that. And but if you come inside and you want to watch, you've got to be quiet." And they never went outside once. They sat inside in the studio on the couches, and they watched, each one watched the other one do their part. They didn't make a peep. They listened. They were so engaged when I was giving them advice, you know, like coaching them on the vocals. God, they were so beautiful to work with. Slightly older, like 19 and 20-year-olds who sort of got into bands, or I've heard their stuff and they're playing. They don't want anyone to tell them what to do. Or,
Yeah, they know
yeah,
it
something
all.
gets
We
in the
know it
way.
all.
Yeah, the ego gets in the way there, you know, and that's the time when they should be coached the most because they're about to blossom, you know. And just need a little fixing up the songs and And that's when it's harder, but at a slightly younger age. So that's kind of the age I want. Or musicians that come to me, you know, singers that come to me. It's hard to go up to a band and go, you know what, I really, if you came to me for three lessons, I could show you how to fix that weird thing that you do when you go into a high note. They don't like that. Yeah. So people that really want, singers that want to, people that want to become singers are super keen, but there's a certain bracket. Yeah, that just don't. And I like the younger ones. Yeah, they are like sponges. And I
So
also wish I'd been given the advice, you know, and the guidance that I could give when I
yes.
was that age. I had no, you know, when I was in the band, there was no one. I'm not boo-hooing because it wasn't a bad thing. I had to learn along the way. But it would have been useful to
Yes.
have like a different eye on things with someone who you trust. So I made all of those errors and did all of that stuff. And I can see where you can trip up so easily at the early stages of the beginnings of your career.
Let's speak of an imaginary person who's getting into it, and that what are the some of the common areas that a person normally trips up in if they don't have the advice or guidance?
Don't believe the bullshit people tell you. Don't believe the hype, you know, any don't that's it confuses you. Remember, it's about the music. Have a purpose and know that how you're feeling now, you're going to feel differently in 10 years' time
And
about
wouldn't you?
everything. Now, I was just
So,
going to say, I think like pop music is the best thing, and I'm never going to don't do those things. Go,
yeah.
this is where I am now, and I'm open to, you know, that's a way better way of moving forward.
So just be open and know who you are, because you see some of these artists that get swept up in the thing, then you read articles afterwards of after they've won this competition or that competition of how they didn't have a voice, they were made into this image that wasn't them, and then they came out the other
Yes.
end and spat out, and now it's like they're all bitter and twisted.
Well, I think a lot of those competitions, I love watching my daughter saves me some of them, and I watch, and there's amazing singers there. But that is literally 15 seconds of fame because I've watched some of the winners of the talent ones and the voice ones and the Idolsy ones and that. The American watch their some shows after that that they've done after they've won or become second. Oh man, it's never the same. You're never going to have the same band. You're never going to have the same lights, the same
Yes.
backing vocalists, the same media attention, you know, and that's the beginning. And so it's just pretty much downhill for a lot of them from there, from that thing. It's also because a lot of them aren't necessarily what it's made them out to be. So now you've got to go and backtrack and
Yeah,
find that out. So how worthwhile that sort of thing is.
I've spoken, like the one guy I spoke to, I'm not mentioning names, but I spoke to one guy who was the winner of The Voice UK. Another girl who's in the finalists of The Voice UK, they thought, afterwards it's going to be bah, like whatever. And then it was
Yeah.
like, and now what? Nothing.
Yep.
And there was like,
Now you've got to come up with songs that are equal to the songs you've sung to win it. Man's World. You know what I mean? It's like these powerful songs that everybody knows, heard it from the grapevine. What's that, Whitney Houston? You know, I Will Always Love You. All those massive, massive hits. That's what you've won them on. You've won those shows on those hits. And now you've got to come out with an album. You could come out with covers, but that ain't going to be sustaining at all. And to now try and find the same strength of song to keep that career going, bam, bam. How many? Maybe Kelly Clarkson. I don't know. The only one. Maybe who's the other one?
Adam
There's been two that
Lambert,
I
Will Young,
Adam Young.
couple, there's been a
And
few,
how many of there are there since it started? Hundreds. You know, so it's like the music industry, it's the same thing. You start off, there's thousands of people in the music business. By like 26, 27, if you haven't cracked it, you fall back on what you know, what you've studied, or you get into like record, you get into the record business. And not so many by the time you get to 40.
It's interesting you say that, because I recently read an article that the top radio stations in the UK, and they only mentioned females. I don't know why
Yes.
males are special, but if a female artist is over 30, these top radio stations won't play them anymore. Ellie Goulding, Rita Ora, they are now has-beens, according to the radio stations, inverted commas.
Don't start me. Don't start me. I was talking to Robin the other day and saying, I've been thinking about it, but this is the template for music. I've never heard of anyone having a number one hit over the age of 50. Have you ever heard of someone breaking into the market? Now, that should be credible because if you think about it, the music I release now is way better than the hit I had when I was 20. It's just that it's just no, you're not allowed. You know what I mean? You're not played, even though it's the same genre as what's happening on stations or similar to that are putting pop, indie music on. But because I'm 59, it's kind of like, but everyone else is 24. But it's not about the music. They're not seeing the music. They're seeing me. You know, it's such a weird thing.
It's
And
ridiculous.
it's crazy. It's like people want to put you on the legend stage. I mean, it's sort of like, hey, man, I'm working here. It's crazy. So, and I look at Arno, the last hit, you've got to be under 35. I think it's around about 35. Robin and I were going back, even Sting, Free Free. He has albums and everyone knows them and his fans will all buy them. But it will never be what I've noticed on like a station and be that thing, the new Sting song. It'll just be fans follow and off you go.
Absolutely.
It's that sort of thing, even though it's as funky and groovy as the stuff he did 30 years ago.
Exactly.
It's a weird phenomenon. I'm the only female white indie rock slash blast singer and then the next one is about 43. I think, I don't know how old Laurie is, but around about 10, there's a massive gap. It's hard for a woman in the industry to keep going as a professional and have a family.
So I love this game. My recipients don't always like this game, and you'll understand why in a moment. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 days, 2 hours, I know your answer will be different each time. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this chat, what would those five songs be and by whom?
I would say Special Agents by Chris Lecher. He was the lead singer and writer of Urban Creep. I would say Genie by the Springbok Nude Girls. I would say Window on the World by Bright Blue. I would say Robin Auld, his new song Underground. Hey, that's number four. And number five, I would say Bay of Bombay by Jennifer Ferguson.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to a listening audience, what would you like to say?
I would like to say that life is precious. And this is a thing that came up for me this whole weekend. It's a weird thing. People was often talking to me about what someone had done. And I said, oh, it's so weird. It keeps coming up, this thing. You can't change anyone. The only thing you can do is know what they are and allow people to treat you in a certain way. You allow how people treat you. And it's kind of been standing out, and I've been telling people, well, you allow it, So there you go. That's my little drop for the week. It's not about music, but it's sure to come up somewhere in a song.
There we go. So, as Wendy says, you allow how people treat you. So, what do you choose? This is Celeb Savant signing out.